Hello and welcome to Whitley Bay Baptist Church. We're really pleased that you can join us for our online service today. And we hope you'll be encouraged, inspired and maybe challenged a little as we worship together. Now we're in the third week of our series called Frontline Sundays. And we're going to be looking at where you are as the heading for today. So let's start just with a prayer of declaration. And I'm going to use a prayer that's taken from the Faldobrennan Retreat Centre in West Wales. And the localhousesofprayer.org website. Heavenly Father, we take upon ourselves the mantle of authority that Jesus delegates to his disciples. And in this unprecedented season, we speak to every household in our communities and say to you, we bless you in the name of the Lord. We bless you that the peace of God that passes all understanding may reign over your homes. We bless your marriages that they may be strong and whole. We bless the partners in each marriage, that the relationship between them may be loving, forgiving, merciful and strong. We bless every intergenerational relationship within each household, that there may be peace and love and understanding flowing between each one. In particular, we bless those in our communities who are feeling alone or isolated at this time. In Jesus' name, we bless every network of wholesome and supportive friendship. We bless you with innovative ways to connect and to support one another. We bless your relationships that they may be strengthened and deepened during this season. We bless the health of all those in our community, that you may be strong and well. In particular, we lift up those who have underlying health conditions. And we, in Jesus' name, resist any sickness or disease which seeks to invade this community. To every person, both young and old, we say, be well, be strong, be healthy. To any who are currently suffering with COVID-19, we say, we bless you in Jesus' name with a speedy recovery. We bless the relatives and friends of those who are sick, that the Lord may comfort you at this time. To those working on the front line in health services, we honour you and we bless you in Jesus' name. We bless you with great strength, wisdom and divine strategies to bring health to those who are suffering so acutely at this time. We bless you with a sustained resilience as you continue to serve the most vulnerable. To the business owners in our community who continue to serve as we bless to serve us, we bless your wealth. We bless you with divine strategies for your businesses during this challenging season. We bless you to have enough to live and enough to give. We bless the work of your hands, that whatever you turn your hand to, which is wholesome, may be profitable. And we bless the grass of the fields, that it may grow strong and nutritious throughout the year. We bless the flocks and herds that they may be well and strong and that they may multiply. We bless the cultivated land that it may yield rich harvests. We bless the local schools at this time. We bless the teachers with creative and engaging strategies to impart principles and learning. We bless the children's capacity to learn and develop relationships. And we bless their simple trust in Jesus, that their trusts may grow and become enriched. We speak to the churches and all other places of Christian worship, and we say we bless you in the name of the Lord. We bless you as you meet and connect online in new ways, that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God may flow out of you in power. We bless the hearts of all who live in this community, that you may be quickened to hear and respond to the voice of the living God. We bless all who live and work here, that the overspill of the blessing of the presence of the kingdom of God may fall upon you. We bless your front line, that Lord may make you effective and powerful to see his kingdom advance wherever you have the opportunities. We bless you that unprecedented breakthroughs would follow this season of brokenness. Amen.
You, O Lord, are the healer of my soul. You, O Lord, are the gracious Redeemer. You come to restore us again. Yes, you come to restore us again. Oh, you come to restore us again. And again.
My heart. morning, let's pray together for those in need. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and bless you for your grace that you give to us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that he has commanded us to pray for one another, that he wants us to come and to ask for things in his name. So we come this morning and we bring to you those in our own fellowship who are suffering with illness at this moment. For Liz, for Kate, for Alf, for Sarah Jane, for Carol, for Tom, Amy's mum, and there are others who will be suffering. And perhaps we might in our own hearts remember those that we know in this brief pause. We thank you that it is always your will to do good to people, and we would ask for your blessing and your grace to come and fill their hearts and their lives, that they might know you in their bodies, their mind, and in their souls. We want to pray for our world, Heavenly Father, the pandemic, wars, famine, floods, drought, wildfires, all of which have an effect upon people's lives. We pray for refugees, particularly for those in Syria, on the Kurdish border with Turkey. We pray for the Rohingya Muslims who've been driven out of Myanmar. We pray for those who find themselves in camps along the borders in Europe. They are suffering. They are in need of food and shelter and care. And we also think of those who are in camps in our own country waiting for recognition of their status. We pray for them. We ask that we might learn to become as Jesus would have said to them, that we would welcome them, that we would look after them as your word commands us to do. We bless you and thank you that you give us all that we need. We pray then we would be compassionate and bless the refugees in our midst. We pray for the political upheaval that's going on in the USA, in Myanmar, in Russia and Holland, and even on our own streets where protests are becoming more and more apparent. Lord, we need your grace. We need to remember that we are human beings together on this one planet. And we need to know your love, your forgiveness, and your compassion. We pray for our church, Heavenly Father. We pray that as we're in this transition time, that you will bless our church leadership team and the search team. We pray for your grace in that situation, where we're seeking to find a new pastor, team leader, and we would ask for your mercy and your power to be at work on our behalf in this situation. We thank you that we are keeping in touch with one another via Zoom and telephone calls. We pray for those who might not be able to access the church services easily because they struggle with technology. We pray that you would do all that you can, and we will do all we can to maintain the unity of our church in these current situations. We pray that you would move our hearts to do that by the power of your Holy Spirit. We would pray for our own government and the conditions in the underlying pandemic. We seem as though we're giving ourselves to such complaining at the moment, yet this was a new virus and nobody really knew how to deal with it. But I pray, Father God, that you would be with our government, that you would bless their decision making and give them wise hearts, that they might be able to look after the welfare of the people. Father God, it's such a difficult situation for us to be in as a country, and the whole world are in the same vein. So come, use these situations, use this upheaval as an opportunity for us to shine as lights in this world, in order that your glory might be seen and many might come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Today's reading is taken from Genesis 28, verses 10 to 22. It's titled Jacob's Dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth."
That I love you, pour out my heart. 10 hours a day.
6 days a week.
Whenever I'm needed.
Every Saturday morning.
I spend my time.
In a place that matters to God.
With people that matter to God.
My front line.
In the stresses.
Successes.
Problem solving.
Tantrum resolving.
Laughter.
Teamwork.
Jokes.
Tears.
Boredom.
Tension.
Cups of coffee.
Cans of Coke.
God is working with me.
He helps me see what he sees.
Put here by God.
He knows the day ahead.
This place is rich with possibilities.
This is my front line.
Hello there. My name is Helen and I'm a member of the church prayer team. And I'm going to be talking this morning about serving God on our front line, wherever we are. As we found out in our services over the past couple of weeks, we all have a front line, a place where we do life or work, and where we encounter people who don't know Jesus. We don't need to go looking for these places. After all, it's where we already are. But sometimes, perhaps, we need to see these places with fresh eyes. In the context of a church service, it's easy to rush over the central point of the story of Jacob's dream, which we heard about in the Bible reading. God meets Jacob. And the amazing part of the story is that it was in the least expected place. Not a church, not spring harvest, not a Bible study, but where Jacob was, on his front line. And the Bible is clear. Most of the time, God meets people in the most unlikely of places. He talks to Moses in a burning bush as he works as a shepherd. Elijah in a whisper at the doorway to a cave. Jesus met Zacchaeus up a tree, and the woman at the well as she went about her daily tasks. In Matthew chapter 4, we read this account of Jesus calling his disciples. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers. They were Simon, his other name was Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were putting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fish for men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going from there, Jesus saw two other brothers. They were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were sitting in a boat with their father, mending their nets. Jesus called them. At once they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. So Jesus didn't meet Peter and the other disciples at the synagogue or the temple. He met them at their workplace on the beach, when they were hot and sweaty from lugging nets and covered in fish scales. Indeed, most of the encounters we read about in the life of Jesus occur in ordinary, everyday places. A few years ago, my walk with God became very dull and dry. For some reason, I couldn't feel the presence of God anymore, and at the start of every Sunday service, I would pray for Jesus to reveal himself to me once again whilst I worshipped in church. Weeks and then months went by, and every Sunday nothing happened, and I began to wonder where God was and whether, perhaps, he disappeared from my life forever. In my work, I have responsibility for a team over in Carlisle, and one Tuesday I was due to meet up with them. Sometimes I drive the A69 over the North Pennines, but that day I took the train, which runs through beautiful countryside alongside Hadrian's Wall. As ever, I scraped onto the train at the last minute, having just had time to grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper. The train set off, and I sat and I looked out of the window and thought about a million things, including what I needed to share with the team in Carlisle. And God didn't cross my mind at all. All of a sudden, as the train pulled into Wylam, bam, the Holy Spirit came upon me with such force that I was pushed back in my seat as the train carriage filled with golden light and the glory of God. I remember glancing at the man sitting opposite me, unable to believe he couldn't see what was happening too. And for a while, I have never been quite sure how long, God was all around me, in every breath that I took, and he was all that there was. I was left in no uncertain terms that God had revealed himself to me in a magnificent and majestic way. And I've often wondered, why did God meet me there? Not as I prayed to him in church, but on my front line, in a very grotty Northern Transpennine train carriage, full of grumpy commuters. And as time has gone by, I have come to understand that God met me there, firstly, because he is God, and he can choose to reveal himself to me wherever and whenever he chooses, but also because for me, my job and my frontline is a huge part of who I am. It's where I spend the most of my time, and most importantly of all, it's where God has called me to be. So I don't know why I was so surprised to encounter God in such an amazing way on the 7:28 to Carlisle. Jacob renames the place where God met him Bethel, which means the house of God. And this is what we mean by a front line. Your Bethel might be your everyday place of work, or the school gates, or the local gym, but it's the touching place between God and a world that often does not know his love. In the film we saw a bit earlier, ordinary places become holy places. For the plumber, it was his customer's house. For the grandma, her front room. For the businesswoman, it was the office. And for the football coach, it was the pitch. However, for many of us, our front lines have changed beyond all recognition in the last year due to the pandemic, and it's taken a lot of adjustment. John works as a hospital consultant in a Newcastle city centre hospital.
Hi there, so my name's John. I'm a doctor here at the Freeman Hospital. I'm in the renal outpatient department in the clinic room here. And my role in the front line is to see patients with kidney disease, help them manage and treat their kidney problems during this pandemic. So there's been a lot of telephone consultation work, so the patients that do come in to see me here in the clinic have a particular need and are unwell for kidney reasons and usually other reasons as well. And so they're in a fragile state. So coming into hospital generally is a terrifying experience, but for kidney patients who may have been told to shield for the last months, this is particularly frightening as it's their first venture out of the home for some time. And so their interactions with me as their clinician, the nursing staff and the receptionist is perhaps the only human contact they've had properly for a while. And so it's vital that we're kind and compassionate and listen and take into consideration all their problems, because I think this COVID-19 pandemic has told us that physical problems are impacted, but also mental health problems are also impacted, and people are generally scared and frightened of the consequences of getting coronavirus. So this is my frontline, maybe half of the week when I'm dealing with patients. And I just really try my best to show a positive outlook on life, to show them that I am being kind and compassionate and here to listen and help them as much as possible. Clearly that's can be challenging, and I fall down at this task sometimes, but I'm really privileged to be able to be in this position of trying to help people with their kidney troubles. So thank you.
And what about those of us who aren't currently on our usual front lines at all? It might be that your office is closed and you're working from home, or the shop where you've worked for years is shut and you're on furlough. Or maybe you're a teacher and you're contending with doing your job without actually being in the same room as any children. Sim is a student who's meant to be halfway through his second year studies at a university in America. But as you can see, he's not. So Sim, tell me, where were you this time last year?
So this time last year, I was studying in Harvard University in Massachusetts.
And what were you doing there?
I was in my first year. I was taking lots of different classes, but trying to get my degree in computer science.
And that was very much your front line, wasn't it?
Yeah, I felt like that was where I was doing my work and I was at the cutting edge of what I wanted to do.
And then the first lockdown happened and you came home.
Yeah.
Where were you this time 6 months ago?
This time 6 months ago, I was at home, and I'd kind of received news that it wouldn't be likely I'd return to America this year, and so I decided to kind of look at other options, and I managed to get a placement to be a visiting student at Oxford University, which I was very pleased about. So I would go and do part of my degree there.
And it was actually great, wasn't it? Like, in terms of meeting other Christians, in particular going to Oxford.
There's a much American kind of Christian Union, and British Christian Union look quite different, and I felt much more at home in the British Christian Union kind of scene.
So in actual fact, your Oxford frontline was quite a good place for you to be in terms of meeting God and that kind of thing.
And the church communities were a lot stronger there, and I felt more at home kind of with the other Christian community there.
But now, Sim, let's just pan here to where you haven't made your bed.
Oh, you can't put that in.
I can. I'm your mum. Where are you now?
I'm in my bedroom, doing unable to return to Oxford, so doing it all virtually from here.
And how does that feel?
Feels, well, they're keeping me busy, but it's not exactly what I signed up for, but trying to make the most of it, and there's plenty for me to be doing, but it's not really where I'd preferably like to be.
Or maybe it's the complete opposite for you, and it could be the pandemic has created a brand new frontline for you, and God is meeting you as you face fresh challenges. Lots of us are getting our heads round homeschooling, and the kitchen table has become our Bethel.
Hiya.
Hello.
Helping with homeschooling our grandchildren during Corona is, as you can see, a hands-on activity.
This makes us very much aware of how difficult this is for parents who are working at home and doing homeschooling at the same time. We are praying for homeschooling parents all over the world.
We ourselves are fortunate that we both are retired teachers and therefore can help our grandchildren when they're stuck.
We found that our grandchildren are progressing well under homeschooling.
And we are very glad that we can homeschool our grandkids. We are praying for all of you parents out there who are doing so without often any help from anybody and without prior training.
We feel for you. It is a tough job. Tempers do at times get frayed.
And at the end of a day of homeschooling, finding our way around technology that often goes wrong, as well as cooking for and feeding our grandchildren and ourselves, and dealing with upsets at times. At the end of the day,
we are fit to drop.
Oh yes, we're fit to drop. But we know we would not be able to sustain this without God's help. And we are glad that God is there to help us.
Going back to the Genesis Bible passage, the thing that really stands out for me is that God tells Jacob all people on earth will be blessed through him, which is a massive promise. In my mind's eye, I see the sweeping plains of North America, the deserts of Africa, the densely populated cities of India. Yet for many of us, those amazing places around the world will never be our Bethels. No, for us, our Bethel is the place God has called us to be every day. The place where we can share the love of God with people who don't know him and bless those around us. For me, that's a cramped newsroom full of frantic journalists. For you, it could be your back garden or the stairway to your flat, because that's where you stop and chat to the people who live around you. Or it could be a hospital where you seek to share the love of God with people who are ill and afraid. Or, right now, it could be the kitchen as you try to get your heads round impossible maths questions with your children or grandchildren. So I invite you to think about your Bethel and to join me in this prayer. Lord of all creation, thank you that our everyday, ordinary places matter to you and we make a difference there. We offer to you the places where we live, work, study and play. May we serve you and bear witness to you wherever we are this week. And may we know your presence with us in these places. Amen. Thanks for joining us today, and I'd like to say many thanks to everyone who's taken part in today's service, both those on our screens and those who have produced the service. And finally, a blessing as we finish our service and return to our Bethels. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.